Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. I want to welcome our Christian Television Network audience around the nation and around the world, and our VFN Radio audience that's listening also around the world. And we got your glasses on this morning. And also those on the Gulf Coast, the WHBR audience from Mississippi to Destin. Joining me today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello.
Man, the headlines are pretty tragic. We're going to be going over quite a few things, hopefully, today in our program. And definitely, but these tragic tornadoes, weekend, necessarily over yet. We'll be talking about of destruction that came across the United States. And we want to remember those families in our prayer. Talking about reports from the Jerusalem Post, how the Holocaust remembered 1,000, 10,000 people to be able to remember some things. We should call a remembrance for America because we just
right.
But it's almost like they're just taking due to remember stuff, but not here on VFN. We are going to remember it. And then also Hobby Lobby. We'll be talking about it. Washington Post's family has developed a high school curriculum that they're this school, but also he has a vision for 2000 and then thousands thereafter. So this is exciting. A four-year full elective that you, the Bible, powerful. That's just the powerful. In the context of that, think about that as well. We want to be able to share about the wisdom from God's word. Above all things, you think about this, that so if you missed any of them or want to go to, you get the VFN TV local app store, go to VFN to do that. You can go to TV.com. And I'm telling you, saturate wisdom of God because the wisdom of the knowledge. A lot of people are seeking knowledge, but in a moment today talking about there's two paths, the path of righteousness and the path of sin, you know, and the outcomes. And hopefully we'll get a chance to be able to talk about the Bible, you know, coming up today.
Stats on the one of the top problems families are facing today. It's really, really good to just share, and we're going to have a great discussion about that.
And this new documentary coming out?
Yes, called Irreplaceable. Folks on the Families put this movie together. It's a documentary. It's going to come out May the 6th. We want to support it. And it just talks about the value of family and how it is, you know, irreplaceable.
Right, right. That's so, that is so, so very, very important. And my goodness, we have so much we want to cover, but let's just start off about what's taking place now with this tragedy. Can you pull my notes up for me right there? The tragedy taking place in South and Central America. I mean, it's just crazy, but it makes me think about specifically, you know, CBN News is reporting the biggest tornado outbreak of the year started this weekend in central U.S., the central United States, and may not be over yet. At least 16 people have died from 29 twisters from Alaska to North Carolina, from Arkansas to North Carolina. It's across the entire United States. And Arkansas has experienced the hardest hit with 30-mile-long trail of destruction that was created by these tornadoes. And it's interesting to me is that most damage was done to the Mayflower. Most damage was done to the town of Mayflower. And it makes me think about, you know, first of all, praying for these families, just praying for this disaster. If we'll pray for those and help out those in times of disaster, then it will prevent future disasters coming upon maybe your family and others. And besides just being there for them in this time. And also, it makes me think about John Paul Jackson's prophetic word about the perfect storm. This is exactly what he talked about. Right. And getting back to our original intent, which we've been talking about, and so many others, wall builders has been talking, others have been talking about. And it's like, you know, is this a sign in regards to why was the biggest city hit called the Mayflower? You know, the Mayflower Compact, all the things that had happened about how we came over here and how America was discovered as America, you know, during those days. And we've been leaving our original intent, and it's like, you know, dear Lord, if we just, he says, this is what the Word of God says. He says, when disaster comes and these different things happen, he says, if you, my people, will turn to me. So those disasters come, and so many people say today, even though your insurance policy says act of God,
right.
you know, it's very interesting that they, you know, it says it's not God anywhere until you get into your insurance policies, and once it's the insurance policies, they call it an act of God. It kind of makes you think that when the first insurance company was established in America, there must have been the original intent of our nation was about it.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
And now, so go back and look at your insurance policy for everybody that's saying that, you know, God wouldn't allow this, and realize you're paying monthly for acts of God to be covered when God, when disaster comes. And and so just think about this. You know, we will, I would love to see, because the prophetic word from John Paul Jackson, The Perfect Storm, which has been unfolding like clockwork, is that when we turn back to God, when God's people turn back to him, not the secular folks and people who don't follow Jesus, I'm talking about the people who claim, who said we carry the name of the Lord and we say that we're his, when we turn back, then there won't be these kind of tragedies coming upon our nation. God will protect our nation.
All right.
And so it's just amazing how that just kind of lines up with what's taking place in there. And in the day of Holocaust, the remembrance, you're probably seeing right now some video playing while I'm talking about 10,000 people, Jews and non-Jews, came together to remember the Holocaust and what took place. And they marched all the way from 10,000 people from all around 50 countries, Jews and non-Jews, were participating Monday on the 23rd March of the Living to commemorate the victims of the Holocaust. And they did a three kilometer walk from the Holocaust of Remembrance from the Auschwitz to the next camp. And they've done this for quite some time, and it was just amazing. 10,000 people came to remember that.
Wow.
And we want to remember it. And they do a real good job of never forgetting and saying never again. We'll proclaim in America never again. But the thing about it is, since we don't remember it again.
Yeah. Fantastic job of doing, like you said. I just saw a picture, an article, and something that they were speaking to. So a replica of the, you know, a miniature room for them to get, you know, visuals everywhere. And some interesting facts to share. And they say Jews were killed during that time, but 1 million of them, 1 million were children, and 2 million were females and were males, but two right. And they just lost their lives. I remember going to, with you in New York, to the one in Israel, and it's just amazing to be able to, things that have happened, to remember the same evil. So would love to continue to do the...
Now on your television, VF and Torch, the march in 2014, and just thought if you were in those camps, that they'd forget you. And we will remember for way, and it's like 200 Jerusalem, the Holocaust right now. There's,
I think,
200,000 that are still alive, and never forget. And we're standing with you, and we understand. You know what they teach at the museum in Israel, you know, and one was Christianity, and or whatever it was. Is why didn't they studied? Why didn't thing? They were trying to figure, and they react at the Trinity. And study was that the church was unable. That's today. Today we're to recognize evil, and we call bad, and we just assume that people really can't be evil. But they, you know, if the devil's got a hold of them, they can be horrifically evil. When you think about, you know, in Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu used this particular moment in remembering the Holocaust to connect it with what's taking place today. With the Palestinians and how they came together with Hamas, and it's like they came together. They actually said, "Yes, we acknowledge the Holocaust now," but they just merged with, "No, we want to destroy you," and that is Hamas. And he's saying, "Listen, you know, if you truly acknowledge this," which is big for them to say something like that, but understand they merged their government with a big no while they were saying yes, which means it's the same thing as always been in the context of that. This is pretty interesting days, but we want to remember, you know, what's taking place in that. Also, and finally, before we go to break, I want to be able to talk about the Green family. Steve Green launches this, Washington Post is reporting, that they're launched this Bible curriculum, 4-year high school program.
Mm. Oh, wow.
It's exciting. It's the Mustang School in Oklahoma. The school voted April the 14th to adopt a Bible course developed by Steve Green, clearing the way for the Hobby Lobby president whose suit, by the way, he has a suit against the Affordable Care Act because he's trying to force him to be able to buy things that abort children and for his business. And he's standing up for that, but he's taking this on. The board of this district in this Oakley said, you know what, it's called the Museum Curriculum, a public school elective, and history of the Bible, the impact of the, and in September hopes to place it in this reporting or the following.
Oh, wow.
I need to go on and say, if successful, Green did upward of $3 billion to modernize the movement of teaching public schools. He would do that. So they're the Green family. Invest and help us as the church respond. Again, to prepare the hearts of the school boards now. There's been anything wrong. That's the big thing about this. There's been teaching the Bible in public schools. They've been pulling it out. But now this has actually been going on, this thing, the 60s. And now it's full context of that, where he's going to have this. Let it be. We'll be back after this.
For listening to VFN Radio, you can locate us at VFM.
Law, liberty, justice. This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
I am a refugee here for about 4.5 years. When I first applied for the present job I have, I indicated on the application form that I would not be available to work on Sundays because it interfered with my church practices.
And did they hired you anyways, correct?
Hired me.
And now what are they telling you?
Now I have to work a double shift on Sundays.
Okay, let me get you in touch with our lawyers here at the American Center for Law and Justice. And there's some information, by the way, at aclj.org. I think it would be a great place for you to go. But look, they've got to make a reasonable accommodation at your workplace. If there's someone else that can work that double shift for you, they should allow you to have that time off. It's called a reasonable accommodation, so that means there needs to be other people available to handle that situation.
Learn more about your rights in the workplace at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
I wanted to be able to tell you, if you haven't yet heard, that you can go to VFNTV.com and sign up for our newsletter. It's called The Torch. As a matter of fact, you're probably seeing it on your screen right now. You go right to the front page of the VFN Torch, and you click on, you see in the upper right-hand corner? You click on sign up for the newsletter, and there it is. You can sign up. You see the flame burning right there. Fill out your information here, push submit, and boom, every single week you will receive a newsletter with that week's program sliced up. Think about it, sliced up segments that, you know, whatever segments to you. I want to make sure you do that, because we work extra hard to make sure that you can get it ever how you need to be able to get it. And because listen, if only 9% in 2009 had a biblical worldview, in other words, they had a light, L-I-G-H-T, perspective of the world, it's a lot less than that now. Mm-hmm. And with hearing the light of God's, you know, it's not enough to know the news. You need to know what to do with the news you know. To have that light perspective of what's going on, it's going to help you have a biblical worldview of your decision making, of why you're going to get married, or why you're going to need to stay married, or why you need to have family, or why you need to pay taxes, why you need to function. I mean, we've got to move past that. And one thing we can do that is by signing up for The Torch and getting it sent to you every single week. Every single week. And in that, it has the offers and things that are going on as well.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back from the break. I'm Greg Lancaster. We are just bringing in the headlines. I want to talk a little bit about them now that we had a chance to be able to put them out there. Mm-hmm. And we talked about, in the conjunction with this tragedy taking place from Arkansas to North Carolina with these tornadoes that have not yet finished, they're talking about potentially there's still more can come, that how in regards to prophetically speaking, that the when you think about the perfect storm, and if you haven't heard this yet, you can go to the VFN Torch and hear more about it, or go to Preparing for the Perfect Storm. But there was a prophecy given talking about this increase that would take place in the weather patterns, and they're going to be sporadic and they're going to be disastrous. But the big thing that was said was these things are going to increase unless we repent. And God's plan, this is kind of how the sum up the prophetic word to me was, we're going to repent. The mm-hmm. question is how much of us will be left? Mm. Will we be able to walk straight still? Right. Will we have, you know, things like electricity?
Could we ever sit again?
Will we ever sit again? I mean, we're going to repent, but when to come and understand, when you think about the original tent, which we focus on quite a bit, the fact that it's the Mayflower. And, that's where the Mayflower Compact began, when they started coming over to establish America, when the Pilgrims are coming over and they're made a mm-hmm. compact. This is how we're going to live our lives and get along, which is the footwork or the groundwork for what eventually become the Constitution And it's like, this is, and if these things are happening, like John Paul Jackson saying prophetically, and God is speaking to us through these things, to consider hardship as God speaking to you, directing your attention, that, what is he saying? I mean, how much more specific can you get other than the Mayflower took the biggest hit? You know, the compact, Mayflower compact took the biggest hit. And that was Christians who were fleeing persecution, coming to America to be able to worship God freely. But they realized we still had to have some sort of structure. And that's where the Mayflower compact came out. And when they came, and there's a great movie, you got to see it. It's called Monumental. Kirk Cameron, Cameron put it together and led it. And his biggest frustration was, when he talks about it, was, what do you, all this stuff's going on, what do we do? And he said his thing was, let's just go back and find out where we came from. And so he traces us all the way back to the Pilgrims. And it's an amazing thing. And it's, yeah, he does it in such a good way and quality way that is, you sit on the edge of your seat the whole time. And so if you haven't yet seen that, you can get it. Go to the VFN Torch. It'll be related to, hopefully, to today's article. And go to VFNTV.com and get it. But think about it. It's like, my goodness, this is like the original. This is, yeah, in alignment with all those different things. And I think about also in Oklahoma when that huge tornado hit, when this young kid said, when he was hiding in the school, the school's falling apart, and he said his teeth were hitting together. Bam, 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 bam. The wind was so strong, his teeth were hitting together. Well, I remember a prophetic word given by Pastor John Kilpatrick of Church of His Presence when the Lord showed him specifically that it was a vision where he was leaning against the car. It's just all this thing came to him about this disaster coming and this fault line. And he was going through a school. Mm-hmm. He literally was going through a school. He was running through the school in this dream, this vision. And it was hitting so hard, his teeth were hitting together.
All right.
And the kid says, the reporter, I can't find this. And hopefully if one of our viewers or listeners can find that Fox News clip, it was powerful. We tried to find it when it was happening, but it was the Oklahoma tornadoes that were taking place. And this young kid, he just totally confirmed that this was, these are get our attention type moments. And what God has shown me, that if we don't turn, there'll be a great loss of life, not because he's causing it, it's because we're choosing to go in a direction that's darker with more destruction and these different things. But we are going to turn. We're definitely going to turn. But we can be taken out, according to reports. CBN News is reporting them. Others are reporting as well, with a few bullets and a few transformers in our electrical power grid.
Yeah.
And it's just like we're so vulnerable. Only God protects us.
Right.
And how, if we turn our backs on the Lord and crediting him and acknowledging him and thanking him, if we turn, don't do that. That's the big question is, you know, are we going to enter into those three levels of judgment to bring us back, not to write us off, but to write us in? And is America under God's judgment? And you can find out more about that by going to VFNTV.com. And that's available for you because that's the question. Just asking the question based on the word of God, based on what's taking place. Are we under God's judgment? And it's a good question to ask. It's, a lot of mindsets are, don't ever even ask the question because that will never, ever happen.
Mm.
And it's with 81% of the regular church attenders or people who profess to be Christians in America not picking their Bible up, that means 81% don't even know what they're talking about. And then out of the 19% that are reading their Bibles, only 3% of them take it seriously.
Mm.
So there's 3% of folks based on the Barna Group statistical study that can really answer that question. And this is what they would say because it's written plain as day. Yes, this does happen. It happens on a personal level. It happens on a family level. It happens on a church gathering level. It happens on a national scale. It can happen at any moment. It can happen. And God's not a man that he would lie, or the son of man that he would change his mind. Mm-hmm. But when you look also, it's simultaneously, we talked about it's going to be the best of times and the worst of times. Look what's happening. At the very same time, this great tragedy and the threat of, you know, annihilation by our enemies and the enemies within and without, that Steve Green, the Green family with the Hobby Lobby, is developing a Bible curriculum where for 4 years, it's starting right now, as we said, in this Mustang, Oklahoma, in this high school. And by September, though, he wants it in 100 schools. By 2016, he wants it in 100 schools. And the year after, 1,000.
Wow.
So you can either look at the storm and misunderstand it and think, well, you know, God's, you know, going to destroy us, which is a lie. It's not what he wants to do. He wants to bring us to a place of repentance, you know, or you can look at it and say, yes, Lord, like Saul did on the road to Damascus, right? When he got knocked off his horse, he didn't say, it's over. He just said, Lord, Lord, right?
That's right.
And that's what we need to say right now. Lord, Lord. And we look, it's the best of times and the worst of times. The best of times is you have somebody like the Green family putting together this awesome curriculum on the Bible that's worked intently. And Barton with Wall Builders is aware of it.
Mm-hmm. Just makes you want to go to Hobby Lobby and just go buy something. Just go yes. get anything right now.
Right, right.
Yes, yes. And if you need some frilly stuff, you know, like some frames or something, and I mean, just get some.
Get some.
You know, if you don't need some, just go throw money in the door.
Exactly.
Because they're just standing up for the Lord. They're not compromising. And, I mean, they're truly one that prayed and received boldness. We talked about at the Dream Center on Sunday. Mm-hmm. And you think about this. And what do you do at a time like this? What do you do at a time like this when you see these tragedies and these lurking disasters, and at the same time you start seeing the light and the things that are going on? Well, this is what James or Peter and John did, and the church did when they were being persecuted by religious folks, mind you, people in the thing they were doing for God. And the very one's hand, by the way, hands was dripping still with the blood of the Son of God, you know, Ananias, the high priest, he was the one involved in trying to persecute Peter and James. And so you think about that, of all the things they could have done, they could have just been fearful and shut up because they said, stop. The same thing they're telling Steve Green and the Green family and anybody else that's standing up for God. Just stop preaching in the name of Jesus. Stop. That's what they told them. Stop preaching in the name of Jesus. And what they did was they went and they said, they let him go and just said, listen, because they were worried about the politics, you know, how's this going to feed out in the whole Israel here. They went back and they talked to each other and shared what happened. They said, this is what we're going to do. And they prayed for boldness to preach the word of God boldly. They said, Lord, crank it up a notch.
All right.
Everything, you know, for healing and signs and wonders, and fill us with your spirit that we could preach the word of God boldly. It's time for us to take a bold stand and realize, yeah, some difficult things are happening and difficult times are coming, but understand it's going to be the best of times for the church if we'll rise up and say, Lord, crank it up a notch.
Yes.
Lord, give us that boldness. Make sure you catch us on our other programs. We're four programs back to back. Don't forget also, for those on the Gulf Coast, that we are now Monday through Friday at 5:30 p.m. On the WHBR zone from Destin to Mississippi.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit them at VFNTV.com. Visit our sponsors today. We have all their contact information, their phone numbers, their web addresses. They're ready to hear from you. Visit our sponsors and partners at VFNTV.com. Become a partner today. It's you partnering with us, giving and sowing financially, that makes this all possible. VFNTV.com.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
I love VFN Radio. You know, I'm not saying it because I'm part of it, is the fact that I listen to it when I'm not on it, because it's the Word of God. It's a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And I encourage you to get a device, a radio, or an iSomething, or an something, and put it on your desk at work, and, you know, put it by the kitchen sink, and just carry it with you or whatever, and just listen. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Think about it. 24 hours, 7 days a week, all around the world, you can hear VFN Radio. And if you miss a segment, that you just, like, catch a half of it,
mm-hmm.
don't be disappointed like it used to be. Oh, I'm just so disappointed. I'm sure the first part of that was good. You can actually go into the highlights or go to the VFN Torch, and you can hear the whole segment. The whole segment. And in addition to that, you can have podcasts downloaded into your devices. And podcasts are so cool because you can keep them forever in your own storage device. But be encouraged. Understand that this is very, very important, because as the days progress,
although it gets darker and darker in the outside for the church, for those who love God, it gets lighter and lighter. This is what the Word of God says. He says, your peace in the midst of chaos and trouble and disaster is a witness to those who don't know God. He says it's a witness to them, letting them know that you're going to be saved by God. God's going to protect you in it. But to them, it's a witness that they're going to be destroyed unless they know God, which is a witness. You're just having peace. And by listening to VFN Radio, you can keep that peace. You can keep that peace so you can be a witness. Sometimes your greatest witness is to sit beside somebody while they're watching the daily news and just relax and have a cup of coffee mm-hmm. while they're biting their fingernails. It's like, what? Mm-hmm. I mean, really mean it. You know, they aren't faking it. It's just like, mm-hmm. what?
Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. I want to welcome our radio audience around the nation, around the world, our Christian Television Network audience. And joining me today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello.
Well, Pat, tell us, man, what is God saying to you, man? What's the Lord been saying to you?
Oh, wow.
While you're thinking about that, John, what's the Lord been saying to you, man?
Well, man, it's pretty awesome. One of the things the Lord has been sharing is just the power of prayer. We've kind of talked about this before on our previous program, but how prayer has no limits. And it can go anywhere. It's completely unhindered. And, you know, if you think about, you know, if you want to go minister to a certain place or you want to speak into someone's life, they may be, you know, miles away. You got distance and time and resources and all the different things that, let's say, touch Israel. But from your own time of prayer with God, you can literally be in those places and minister and ask God's will to be, you know, come upon us. Yeah, through prayer. Mm-hmm. And it just kind of changes your whole paradigm shift when you realize that while I'm partnering with the Lord
right.
and with intercessory prayer, which is really just standing in the gap for somebody else, God begins to burden your heart with his heart.
Right.
And so it starts in the heart of God and it kind of drops down into your heart, and then you can pray with compassion and
just pray, you know, and praying in faith. Because yeah. not knowing that your prayer is effective.
Yes.
The prayer of a righteous man is effective. That sometimes people just talk, but they don't think it's doing anything.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not, because if it's not prayed in faith.
Just words.
You can just rearrange the furniture, literally, of a family, of a maybe your gathering where your church mm-hmm. is at. I know that that even at the VFN Dream Center, yeah. they begin to pray there before people even yep. come. And just imagine praying over, say you have a business and you have a board that meets there. Before the board even comes in, you know, lay hands on those chairs and pray over each of those board members and their families. That you guys would hear the direction and the will of God for your company
mm-hmm.
and your corporation. There's so many different things you can do. And praying for specifically, and we pray for 24 hours.
24 hours, in fact, today's, you know.
Today's a day of prayer that we pray for 24 hours and just maturing in that. But the
I'll say oftentimes people forget that, you know, it's a prayer spiritual. We live in a spiritual world.
Right.
This is a spiritual world. I know we think this is a physical world. This is right. really a spiritual world. And what manifests in the physical is often as a result of what's happening in the spiritual realm.
Right.
And so you can literally change it, like you said, in the climate of an environment by just inviting the Lord's presence and his will to be established in that particular home, place, business, country. You know, what have you.
Right, right. And you think about it, too, is that specifically, you know, praying in such a way that it just moves mountains, you know. Mm-hmm. And, you know, what you see is temporary. What you don't see is eternal. We focus so much on the physical sometimes that you see people who profess to be Christians that are talking about physically responding to things. Mm-hmm. We got to physically go out and take this land back. It says, no. We actually have to repent
That's right.
and pray and turn from our wicked ways, and God takes the land back.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. if we're physically minded and not prayer minded, then you'll see people running towards politics. The answer is politics. But you know, you think about that. You think about politics in the context of this, that, you know, politicians just go by the whatever their constituents are, the majority of their constituents. They just find out they want, if you want to win office, you have to have the majority of the people that vote for you.
Mm-hmm.
So the issue is not necessarily going to a politician who works off the greatest percentage of constituents. And this is what the Lord said, do all along. Go to the constituents and preach the gospel to mm-hmm. them. And all of a sudden, the majority of his or her district is going to be people who have God's viewpoint in their heart. And they know if I want to stay in office, I need to, even if they don't even know God, they're going to be political.
Mm-hmm.
So they know if I'm going to stay in, I have to go and respond to what my greatest majority of my constituents is. And so many people are skipping over preaching to their neighbor and marching up and down and preaching to their Washington, D.C.
Right.
And the issue is like, no, that's your neighbor's actually telling him to do that.
That's right.
They're wanting... People talk about...
You miss it to your neighbor.
Yeah, people are talking about, you know, these corporations, and I'm even talking about earlier about Grand Theft Auto and all that. Mm-hmm. But think about it. If it's a corporation, it's really owned by... It could be your neighbors that own that, whoever bought stock in it. So that's who's made the $1 billion. We talked about $1 billion was made in Grand Theft Auto sometime back. But when companies are or corporations get traded on the public stock exchange, that means that they're owned by the stockholders.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you trace these companies and corporations back to the 1% they're talking about, that is your neighbor that's got, you know, got their big, you know, camper that they're going camping all the time because they're making money on dividends from those stocks.
That's right.
And so, but if you'll go preach the gospel to that man and woman and begin to share with them the light and pray for them, then all of a sudden they'll realize this is not a good company to be able to invest in. They'll change their investments. And if that company wants to continue on, when people start leaving that particular mm-hmm. business, then they'll change the way they're doing business.
Yeah,
they wouldn't go out there and shell $1 billion worth of murder, virtual murder, like Grand Theft Auto. That's who owns it.
That's right.
It's who owns it. The retirement funds, they said, oh, the 401k, we had this big hit in the 401k market. Well, that's a whole bunch of stock dividends being right. paid out in stock.
People say, well, I couldn't own that in my portfolio. Trust me, when a game that sells $1 billion in one day, there's a lot of people that don't own a piece of that.
Right? Yeah, it's amazing. I remember, you know, somebody who just loves the Lord, just really loves the Lord. But when it comes time to his money, he didn't even think about it. It's like, you don't even cross those two? I mean, and he goes, that's a whole different story. I'm like, no, it's not a different story, because where your money is,
come on,
where your heart is.
It's where your heart is also.
Right.
So it matters where you're investing your money. It mm-hmm. matters what your, you know, the dividends you're getting paid out. What's
sure.
is it blood money? Is it unjust money? Is it promoting violations of the Ten Commandments?
Ill-gotten gain.
Ill-gotten gain. And God says he sees that. He sees that. And just the knowing about ill-gotten gain, to know about that is that means you can get gain that's ill-gotten.
That's right.
God doesn't prevent you from getting gain that's ill-gotten, but he deals with you if you have ill-gotten gain.
Yeah. I think about the man that you know, and we've met that he's involved in many different types of businesses. And he prays about what companies he's going to invest in. We're talking about prayer, and you know, mm-hmm. but he's praying, asking God, do I need to be a part of this company? Do I, you know, not be a part of this company? We were talking earlier about faith, and as well, you know, in our prayers. And sometimes, you know, the world has it better than the church has it.
Right.
I just recently read a report about Michael Phelps, the Olympic swimmer, who is the all-time winning Olympic, you know, he has the most gold medals. Mm-hmm. And I believe this happened in the 2008 Olympics in Beijing, China. And what I found out was that his coach, from a young boy, would train him to visualize the perfect race. And he would have to do that every day. The first thing he did when he woke up, and the last thing that he needed to do was visualize the perfect race before he went to bed. And he would call that playing the tape. And he would just, and so, you know, he was trained for many years this way. And so his same routine, same habit, same, you know, and he would just visualize it. Well, during the Olympics, his coach would yell at him, put in the tape, put in the tape,
oh, wow.
put in the tape. And then he just did phenomenal. What would happen if we would put in the tape of visualizing in faith, incubating on what God has showed us and called us to do, and, you know, visualize, praying in agreement? Mm-hmm. Those things are manifest in our lives in a greater dimension, in a greater way. But if you don't attach faith, if you're not believing, you're not seeing it, it's impossible to go to in a direction that you don't see happening.
Right.
It's impossible.
That's right.
Right.
That's good. Okay.
Yeah. The we're supposed to be called, he says, my house will be called a house of prayer. And he says, we are the temple of God. We're the house of God. And so often you find folks, you know, criticizing a gathering place for not being what God calls us to be.
Hmm.
And he says, don't you know that you're the building of God, that you, that God's spirit dwells inside of you. The hope of glory is Christ in you, not in a physical structural building, but in you is the building of God.
Mm-hmm.
That you're a royal priesthood, that you're being built together in a spiritual house. And so when you think about that, he says, then that means then we are supposed to be people of prayer.
Mm-hmm.
We have to pray. And the thing about prayer is, you know, the religious mindset is really turning it into something it's not. And it's a conversation with the Lord, talking to God about what's happening and listening to what he says and responding to what he says, about hiding his word in your heart, in our heart. And just when we do that, just our life transforms. It's just living in relationship with God, knowing that God exists and he rewards those who draw near to him. And that's in a time of prayer. And God looks for a man. He looks for a woman, somebody who will do this, to stand in the gap so he doesn't have to destroy the land. He's looking for somebody.
Imagine that. He's looking for someone who would talk to him. He's looking.
Yeah.
Who's going to talk to me?
Right. And it's proven with biblical principles so many times over. But when you look at Abraham, when Abraham saw that God was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, immediately he began to intercede. He didn't go there and physically fight Sodom and Gomorrah at that point. He didn't go in there and try to have some physical response and run for office or something like that. You know, try to take over the leadership. We need a Christian king, you know.
Right.
He just prayed.
Yeah.
He began to pray, and he said, you know, God, if there's, you know, 20 righteous folks, you know, would you spare the land? So he started talking to God about potentially sparing the land. And I believe he went all the way down to 10. But the question is, if you would have went to 2, would it still have been here?
Mm.
And God was willing to respond. He was looking. He's looking for an opportunity for you to make it. He's looking for an opportunity for America to make it, but he's looking for somebody who will stand in the gap, and that is a time of prayer. And then after praying, realize that God very well may make you part of the answer to that prayer, but you need to pray first and see what's going to happen. We'll be right back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Understand this. If you don't abide with the Lord, now is a time. Mm-hmm. Of all the times and all the history of this nation, now is the time to begin to abide.
No doubt.
While you have time. Mm-hmm. And if you don't know how to do it, we have a plan for you at iabide.org. Iabide.org. It's a simple plan. I mean, you can do it with a crayon and a piece of paper, but you need to believe me, because any kind of hireling you might have been following is going to panic and run. He says, this is what Jesus said. When they see trouble, they panic and run because they never cared about the sheep in the first place. And if they don't know your name, you know what I'm saying? If they don't, if y'all don't know each other, it may be the fact they don't not care about you. They don't even know who you are. You need to get someone who knows your name and get close. And that normally happens in the context of a smaller gathering. So if you're in a large gathering of believers, I encourage you, you know, start, in addition to that, you know, get in together in like a home group or something, or a small gathering, a coffee shop, and build vital relationships with a few other believers. And you can fundamentally transform who you are. And even that large gathering where there's everybody's in smaller groups. Because I remember in New Orleans, you know, when Hurricane Katrina hit, that these large gatherings scattered everywhere and nobody knew anybody. You know what I'm saying? The database has gone. It's wet.
Right.
You know, the computer don't work.
Mm-hmm.
They're in Houston. They're in Louisiana. They're in Mississippi. We were taking people in Pensacola.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what our friend said, Leo DeJesus, who mm-hmm. lives right across the Mississippi there from New Orleans. He has an office that looks right over the Mississippi at the Superdome.
Yeah.
Isn't that something?
Yeah, that's cool.
He saw some stuff. No, actually, that got built after Katrina.
Mm.
And although he did live there, but that kind of went away because it's south of the river. But he said that when the hurricane hit, it scattered the church all over New Orleans. And she's still scattered today. She's still scattered today. And that's what happens because, see, if you had shepherds, you may be scattered, but eventually your shepherd is going to find you because they know you.
Mm-hmm.
They know who you are. I mean, unless you're avoiding and running and eluding them, you're going to find each other.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And so, but he says they're still scattered today. And I'll give a big shout out to Leo Jesus and Sandy. Oh, my goodness. Mm. Sister Sandy and Brother Leo.
Yeah.
Great, great couple. She's like, get in here. How did you know that? And we met her. She was working in a flower pot.
Mm.
And literally. Mm-hmm. And Ants, Vines, and Flower Pots is a real good book to be able to get from Charles Simpson to begin mm-hmm. to really think about this. Listen, it is time to do what you got to do what God's called you to do. This present day situation is being fundamentally transformed. I really believe it already has been. Now it's just a matter of flipping a few switches to be able to take it there. And but the church will survive if we understand how we're to operate. And if we need a manual, we got one. It's called the Bible.
Right.
It's the Bible, and it's called, we call it abiding with God, which is spending time with him, hiding his word in our heart, talking to God, listening to what he says, and just doing it.
Mm-hmm.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Well, welcome back. We're talking about some abiding moments. That was real powerful. If you don't have a plan to abide with the Lord, we have one for you.
Mm-hmm.
Because it'll just begin to just revitalize your prayer life. And you'll find that not only are you talking to God, but you're dialoguing with the Lord and having this documented conversation. We have a plan for you. It's at iabide.org. It's a free plan. You can request it today, and it's amazing how your life will—you'll just have peace in your life,
mm-hmm.
and it's just amazing when we do what God says and operate in the context of how he says do things. It's not as complicated as religion's made it out to be, mm-hmm. and children are abiding with the Lord. Mm-hmm. I know as adults we should be able to do that. So, Pat, what's God saying to you, man?
Well, it's interesting you were just saying that. Regards to, you know, just doing what he said, because I was reading in Matthew this morning about Jesus talking about the wise and the foolish builder, the difference between the two. You know, the wise builder, he says, you did what I said, basically. He says in verse 24, it says, therefore, anyone who hears these words of mine and actually puts them into practice is a wise builder. But basically, you're building your foundation on the rock.
Mm-hmm.
The foolish one is the one who builds on the sand. Basically, is the one who doesn't do what he says.
Right.
So, I mean, that's the big difference. And I'm just meditating on that. And just
hearing it doesn't do anything.
No, you just don't hear it. You got to actually do it.
You got to be a hear do.
Yeah, you know, be a hear of the word and do of the word. That's what it says in James as well.
How many people just hear, and it's like, and it's gone.
Yeah.
Like it wasn't retained.
They're like the spiritual NSA. They're just gathering more knowledge, more data.
It's like, that's just another teaching, what is, are you going
to do? You expect
something?
Me to do this?
Yeah. It's like, how many books? I mean,
why is there a moment at the altar every time that something is spoken or preached? How come somebody's saying, well, let's pray about, you know, it's like, because we're supposed to respond.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To what God just said.
That's right.
Isn't that amazing?
There's something he expects of us.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was just, really meditating on that, and examining my own life, you know, what sand am I, is there anything in my life that's sand that's falling through the cracks? You know, is there something I'm not building a foundation on? What am I not listening to? What am I not paying attention to? You know, just, you got to examine your life. You can't just keep going, you know, just blindly
mm-hmm.
without you know.
Well, you can.
Well, you can, but you're going to fall with a great crash, which is what he said in verse 27. Well, you know, when the storm comes, the rain comes, and the streams rise, and the winds blow against the house, it fell with a great crash.
Right.
You know, we don't want to fall with a great crash.
No.
Right. And especially with everything that, you know, we're responsible for with our families and ministry, and you know, because we don't want to bring a black eye on the kingdom of God.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, that's my goal.
I can imagine what it's like to be able to God to ask us to do something, and we don't even do it, and then He asks us again, and we don't do it, and then He asks us again, and don't. I could kind of almost empathize with some of that. It's like, am I repeating myself here? Am I saying the same thing over and over again? You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Oh yeah.
I remember that. It's like why is that? And it's like maybe that's what we're doing with God. God's saying the same thing. It reminds me of Acts when they were asking the disciples to stop speaking in the name of Jesus. And they said, listen, we must obey God over men. But just think about it. How many people without any threats, because they're being threatened, you know, for what they were doing, which is preaching the name of Jesus. And they said, we must obey God. So they were committed to obedience. It wasn't like, hey, I don't like what you're saying, so I'm just going to do what I'm a biter. I'm going to do what God says, and what it is somebody just rebelling against whatever's going on. But it's like, imagine what that's like, you know, in regards to that, and say, you know, and if that's how we feel when what's going on, and knowing we don't know anything in the context of we're following God and He's the one that knows, how dangerous is our outcome? Like you're talking about, how dangerous is the outcome in the crash if we don't, you know, do that? Don't do what's being said.
Not going to be good.
Yeah, because he says hearing what he says to the church, you know, knowing that he's leading us, this is what's going on.
Yeah. Well, the waves are coming. They're going to come. Jesus said, in this life you will. Not you might, maybe, possibly, not if you're good or bad or whatever, you will face tribulation.
Mm-hmm.
But cheer up, I've overcome the world. You will face, you know, problems. And oftentimes you don't know what the house is built on until the trial and the tribulation comes. And then you know if you were able to withstand.
Well, you won't know until it hits.
Yeah,
you won't know until it hits, and that's your faith is, you know, building on what God says. And in disobedience is literally not putting a nail in where it needed to go.
Mm-hmm.
Disobedience is not putting a board where it needs to go. Disobedience is not putting a storm window in and just throwing something in there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's those right. type of things. Disobedience is. You know, somebody says, I'm still building, but it's like, but every single thing that God is saying, how it needs to be put together is so important because it's got to be able to float. It's an ark. It's got to be able to float. And so when you think about it that way, you know, that you can build real good upper superstructure to your ship, but if you didn't build the bottom good, it doesn't matter. It's going to be a diving
that's right.
A tourist attraction.
It's going to be a reef.
A reef. That's it. It's going to be a reef.
Use a blueprint, God's blueprint, you know, and start using your own.
Right.
It's not going to go well. We're like, what did you build there? I built something, you know.
Well, the thing is, too, is that when we don't walk in obedience to what God has said, we don't do it, then what we're really doing, we're just taking our own counsel in the context of that. And which would be?
Pride.
Right. And it comes before a
fall,
which is a great crash, right?
Yeah, great crash.
And so it's just a matter of like, oh my goodness, you know, I've got to listen to the Lord. You know, what is He saying? And you look at it. I mean, how much of the church today is taking on the mindset of the world, where we're operating out of worldly wisdom instead of wisdom from on high? And because there's so many people operating in the world's wisdom, he talks about it in James, that everybody else is doing seems right. But the truth is that heavenly wisdom is peace loving and kind and submissive and all these different things. I mean, it's the context of structure and order. And when you think about an army, I don't know if you were there when Steve was giving that quote Sunday. It was pretty good about Marines. The only person that understands a Marine is a Marine himself or the enemy. That was pretty good.
Interesting.
But then he says also that the only person who understands somebody on the front lines in ministry is somebody on the front lines or the enemy. Nobody else is going to understand. But if you don't understand, you're on the front lines. You know what I'm saying? You know,
you're a target.
Yeah, you're a target, but also the fact is that you know, and the enemy understands you, then it can come crashing with a great fall. And I remember Rick Joyner's vision that he wrote, The Final Quest. And he said in there, when he saw these different armies and the spiritual battles that were going on, and he saw that great men of God were taken down by two demons of pride. Isn't that something? Armies got taken down by armies taken down by two demons of pride. And it's like, that's when we become self-reliant and we start, you know, stepping outside of what God is saying. But I want to think about what Peter and James said in Acts chapter 4 when they were being threatened, you know, about don't follow God, don't do what he said, because this is what Jesus said. He said, go preach the good news. Go tell everybody about me. Go tell them about the resurrection. Go tell them that I'm alive. Go tell them that all authority has been given unto me. Now go. And so, which means for them to obey God is for them to go. How many people are not walking in obedience to the Great Commission? Because it's not a great suggestion. God's called us to go. Right. How are you going? Can you articulate how you are going? And this is how we should be, the very same way. We should be able to say, you know what? I'm walking in this walk with the Lord, not just so I can personally survive, but how I can lay down my life for the cause of advancing the kingdom of God. And he tells us to go into all the world and tell everybody about him. And the enemy's going to rise up. He's going to say, don't do this, don't do that, or sometimes even our own counsel. But this, we got to be just like James and or Peter and John and just say, you know, I've got to obey God over man. I got to obey God over man. It's going to be real difficult to be able to make that decision. Quite often it's the high priest is telling you the opposite of what God wants you to do. Right?
Wow.
Isn't that amazing? Wow. It was the religious folks that was telling you, telling them.
Yeah.
You know, don't do what God's called you to do. Thank God Peter and John didn't listen, and they prayed for boldness.
Amen.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit them at VFNTV.com. Visit our sponsors today. We have all their contact information, their phone numbers, their web addresses. They're ready to hear from you. Visit our sponsors and partners at VFNTV.com. Become a partner today. It's you partnering with us, giving and sowing financially, that makes this all possible. VFNTV.com.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget, you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless. So many things happening in the nation. There was a time, if you remember, it just seemed like, is anybody paying attention? Mm-hmm. Is the church awake? Is, you know, as in, of course, what we saw in regards to American citizens, but they were praying. They were actually got on their knees and they began to pray. But I'm also noticing down, not only in Nevada, not only in Texas and other nations, But I've been seeing, even in the Gulf Coast, where I've been watching, there's been 100 days of prayer going on, 100 days of prayer, praying for revival across denominational, non-denominational lines. And in that, they are just crying out for revival. They're cutting across denominational lines, and it's exciting to see that, that it appears to be being led by Pastor Ted Traylor of Olive Baptist Church. And what's so cool is that even this week, as it's coming closer to Resurrection Day, and we're going to just, as a matter of fact, we're going to hear from Pastor John Kilpatrick in a moment about this, about the Resurrection Day, is about the Passover, is that each day a different minister from a city, from, you know, one denomination to another denomination to another denomination, and this is how revival happens. It's just beautiful to see that. And for those that are listening in the Gulf Coast, I mean, you're looking at, you know, Pastor, I believe, Rogers from an Assemblies of God in Pace, Florida, to Pastor Bernard Yates, you know, a father in his church, a family, and a leader. It's just, can't even name them all right now, but it's just all the different pastors that are coming together. And if you want to be a part of that, you know, make sure you get a chance. You can go to, I believe it's Olive Baptist. You can find out more at olivebaptist.org. But it's not just the Baptist. It's everybody coming together in 100 days of prayer, asking God to send revival.
Wow.
And it is so exciting to see that. And it's such an answer to so many who've prayed. It says, "Dear Lord, you know, help us." And according to the wall of Jeremiah Johnson saw when he was walking through this area, it looks, that's a wall that's down when you start seeing, you know, the, you know, ministers come together into fellowship like that, and across denominational lines, all for Jesus. You know what I'm saying? All for Jesus. So I'm hoping to be able to get out there myself this week. I definitely want to be there for Pastor Bernard Yates.
Yes.
To hear what's being said.
I love VFN Radio. You know, when I'm, I'm not saying it because I'm part of it, is the fact that I listen to it when I'm not on it, because it's the Word of God. It's a conversation. And I encourage you to get a device, a radio or an something or an something, and put it on your desk at work, and, you know, put it by the kitchen sink and just carry it with you or whatever, and just listen. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Think about it, 24 hours, 7 days a week, all around the world, you can hear VFN Radio. And if you miss a segment, that you just like catch a half of it, don't be disappointed like it used to be. Oh, I'm just so disappointed. I'm sure the first part of that was good. You can actually go into the highlights or go to the VFN Torch, and you can hear the whole segment, And in addition to that, you can have podcasts downloaded into your devices, and podcasts are so cool because you can keep them forever in your own storage device. But be encouraged. Understand that this is very, very important, because as the days progress, although it gets darker and darker in the outside for the church, for those who love God, it gets lighter and lighter. This is what the Word of God says. He says, your peace in the midst of chaos and trouble and disaster is a witness to those who don't know God. He says this is a witness to them, letting them know that you're going to be saved by God. God's going to protect you in it. But to them, it's a witness that they're going to be destroyed unless they know God, which is a witness. You're just having peace. And by listening to VFN Radio, you can keep that peace. You can keep that peace so you can be a witness. Sometimes your greatest witness is to sit beside somebody while they're watching the daily news and just relax and have a cup of coffee while they're biting their fingernails. It's like, what? I mean, really mean it. You know, not, they aren't faking it. It's just like, what?
Taking VFN Radio and VFN TV anywhere you want to go, Wi-Fi or no-fi. Why? Because of the podcast. We have podcasting available for you right now. What happens with podcasts? You go to VFNTV.com, click on the podcast, choose the source of podcast that you want to receive it in based on your particular device, computer or mobile device, and realize It just automatically will do what you set it up to do. It will download it while you're having lunch. It'll download it while you're at work. And then when you're driving anywhere in the world, flying anywhere in the world, even when you're on an airline, they say turn off all these mobile phones. You still can actually listen to what's already on your playlist, which would be downloaded programs and highlights from VFN Radio. Go to VFNTV.com and get the podcast today.